Morning.
Oh.
Hello.
That sounded really cool over the microphone. Well, good morning. How are you? A hug with a microphone on always sounds so cool, doesn't it? Well, I'm so glad that you joined us today, that you made it out. I know the wind is back. It's back. But we love it. It's beautiful. It's a little crazy. And this morning, if I look a little bit tired or a little bit out of order, I woke up this morning in a hammock on the top of a mountain, and it was 45 degrees outside when I woke up, camping up with my boys up in Mount Pinos. So I'm so glad to be here. I'll just say, I'm so glad to be here. There's coffee outside. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day, but I'm glad to be here today. And this morning, we're going to continue a series that we've called Generous. And if you're just joining us, it's a series all about learning how to handle money God's way and trying to look at some of the scriptures in the Bible. The Bible is replete with scriptures about how we should handle our money, how we should live generously, how God calls us to live our lives. And so we're going to continue that series in a message I've titled Healthy Money. And this morning, I want to talk about habits, but specifically I want to talk about health. Because we all understand health, don't we? We all understand what it means to be healthy. If I want to be healthy in an area of my life, then I've got to develop habits to back up that sort of health. Am I right? If I want to be physically healthy, I got to develop some physical habits of exercise, of eating properly, of taking care of my body. If I want to be healthy, I got to sleep, like especially sleeping in a hammock. That really works for your health. It's a good thing. But we've got to do things to take care of our health. If I want a healthy marriage, I've got to invest and sow seeds of health into my marriage. I've got to work on the way I communicate, the way I talk to people, my spouse in particular, the way I respond to problems. These are habits I've got to develop. And if I want to develop healthy finances to be physically, not physically, financially fit, then I've got to learn to develop some financial habits that will help me to steward the resources that God has blessed me with. And this morning, I want to talk just about that. I want to talk about some healthy habits for our finances. And to do that, to understand how to handle finances God's way, we're going to take a deep survey of the book of Proverbs, which talks over and over again about the way we handle our finances. We're going to talk about those things because I believe that if we will learn to handle money God's way, then it will be something that will be a great joy to us, and we'll find freedom that we wouldn't have found any other way. As I shared last week, money is it's a great servant, but it's a terrible master. And so we want to learn to handle our resources, handle our finances in a way that will serve us and not become a master in our lives that we have to live our lives in service of. So with that, let's dig in. If you have a Bible this morning, you can pull it out. We're going to look to Proverbs. You can pull out that note sheet. When I say Bible, of course, many of you, that means Bible apps. That's okay. Pull out your Bible app. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. But the first thing I want to talk about today, I want to give you some habits that we need to develop. The first habit is this, is that the first habit I've got to develop in my life is I've got to remember that everything that I have is from God, that everything I have is from Him. And it's so easy to get ourselves off track, to focus on what we have or don't have, how much we work or how much we can earn in our lives. But we've got to remember that everything that we have is from God. If I remember that God is the source of all my supply, then my source is not my salary. My source is not the economy. My source is not my savings account. But my source and my security is in God. Because I'll tell you something, this is so important because if we'll put our security in things that can be taken away from us, then, man, when something happens to our job, our security is rocked. But if I put my hope and my trust in God, it changes things. See, if I put my security in my salary, man, I can lose my salary, right? If I put my security in my job, I can lose that job. Or if I put it in my savings, man, the economy could take a turn. My stocks or whatever it is I've got investments in could go away. But if I'll put my security in God, it will change things. James chapter 1, we're going to depart from Proverbs for just a second, says this. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Say above.
Above.
It's from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. See, God is the one that has given us every good thing. We just sang a song about it. We say, God, I'm gonna give you praise because it's even your breath in my lungs. Everything good that I experience in this world is a gift from God Almighty. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Say, power to get wealth. See, we think about that. Another translation says, gives us ability to produce wealth. But as we talked about last week, we have this understanding that the earth and everything in it belongs to God. And God himself has given us the ability to produce wealth, to create wealth, to get wealth. See, before we were born, although our parents might have saved, we don't own a thing when we come into this world. And as you know, there's no, although some of us have seen the pictures online that disprove this statement, it's not true, that you can't have a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. You don't get to take it with you, right? Though you could probably hook a hearse up to a U-Haul trailer, you don't get to take it when you leave, right? As much as we might think about it. But it's ours for 60, 70, maybe even 80 or more years. And then it's not ours anymore. It's all temporary. And so God is the one that gives us the ability. He gives us the power to get wealth. He's a provider for you, not the job that you have or the economy or anything else. But that's a radically different perspective from the rest of the world's perspective. That doesn't mean that we don't use the abilities that God has given us to go get wealth and to work hard. And we're going to talk about that. But that's an important understanding, that we understand that everything we have is from God. The second habit we've got to develop in our lives and remember is that we've got to learn to make money honestly and with integrity. Now, the scripture talks about this a lot. And as God's people, there's something that's very important for us to be mindful of this truth, because there's a million ways we can make money, right? There's a million ways we can do it. But God commands us to be honest in the way we make our money, to use integrity in the way we deal with others in the pursuit of gain or wealth. There's an old expression, maybe you heard it, you know, talking about a ladder. It said, on his way up the ladder, he stepped on every person along the way. Maybe you've been in a situation like that. And what we're saying with that is, we've seen people live ruthlessly, haven't we? Gain through dishonest means, cheat, do things of less than integrity. In other words, we've got to do just that. Proverbs 15:27 says this, talks of greed. It says, greed brings grief. Say grief. Good grief. No, not bad grief. Greed brings grief to the whole family, but those who hate bribes will live. So when we live a life of greed, it will bring grief and hardship, not just to us, but to our family. If you've ever had a family member do something unethical and come to light, you can know exactly what this proverb is speaking of. But it's something important that when I make money dishonestly, it can bring grief, dishonor, curse, pain to the rest of my family, and emotional kinds of or other sorts of problems in their lives. Proverbs 16:11 says this. It says, the Lord demands accurate scales and balances. He sets the standards for fairness. Now, I'll just say this. In the sort of environment we live in, scales aren't a part of everyday life. Like, we don't go to the market. Maybe you go to the produce aisle, but that's about it. But we don't go to the market and have to put things on scales and have to weigh out gold or other pieces of things. The only scales that are part of our life are the scales in the bathroom, right? And we don't like those ones either. The only scale that's in the daily life is if you're on a diet. It's like, no. We want to yell at our scales and tell them to stop lying to us, right? But God likes accurate scales, although we don't always like it in our bathroom scale. But what the proverb is speaking to is integrity. Because in the days that this was written, there were scales. That, like I said, you'd have to weigh out money. And if you had a dishonest scale, you could try and rip someone off. And what God is alluding to, what he's getting at here, is that we've got to have integrity in the way that we make money. Integrity in the way that we conduct business, the way that we deal with other people, the way that we tell stories. You know, I caught the fish and it was this big, right? We've got to have integrity. No, it was really this big, but I put it in a magnifying glass. But it's this idea that we've got to tell the truth, that we've got to be honest. What does that look like in our day? But we don't have scales. We don't have those things. But we can have it in a number of different ways. How can we have inaccurate scales or balances, not have integrity? By not giving a full day's work. There's one area of life. Some of us have an employer that pays you for a full day's work. To have integrity means, man, I work when I say I'm going to work, when my boss says I'm supposed to work, that when I'm at work, I'm not goofing around and wasting time. I'm not robbing my employer. I'm honest. I'm showing integrity in the way I do what I do. Maybe you've never thought about that. There's so many other ways we can be dishonest too, even not even in our jobs. Ever sell something on Craigslist or on Facebook? Sell something, yeah, the car's great. There's no problems at all, right? You ever been duped by someone that sold you something that told you something about it was not true? Selling the house. Oh, yeah, there's no problems that I know about except for that broken pipe under the house, right? We don't tell people. And what the Lord is saying is that if we misrepresent things, if we don't have integrity and honesty in the way we conduct business, the way we conduct our finances, God's saying, don't expect me to bless those things. And it's not our standard that God judges us by. Sometimes we like to say, well, I'm doing better than that guy. I'm telling less lies than that guy over there. But what does the proverb say? It says that he sets the standards for fairness. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich schemes quickly disappears, but wealth from hard work grows over time. I'll just say, man, there's so many opportunities that are out there today, isn't there? That maybe are a little bit less than integrous. But those things happen all the time. Offers to get rich quick. If you'll just buy my book, if you'll just come to my seminar, if you'll just come be part of my program, then you'll have lots of money, right? Those things are all over. And so many people in our day and age are in debt because they maybe had a lot of money, but they lost it with foolishness. They lost it in dishonest ways. And the number one most common way people lose their money today is through some sort of get-rich scheme. And the Bible says that you should never get involved in those sort of things because if you do, you're setting yourself up to be duped. And the common denominator of many of these ideas is this: I've got a secret. I've got a secret to sell you. It's only $19.95, right? And we want to buy into those ideas. But God says that we need to learn to make money honestly, and that involves those two words that we don't always like to read, hard work. That involves us putting our hard work in. It says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. See, the reality of what God is teaching us about how to handle our finances and our resources is that we've got to be good stewards of what he's given to us. And to do that, we've got to do things with honesty and with integrity. The third habit I want to talk about from the book of Proverbs is this, is that we've got to honor God and put him first in our giving. Honor God. Say, honor God. See, if I live with the understanding that God is first and foremost the giver of every good and perfect gift, and if I work hard to make money honestly, then the third thing I've got to do is I've got to live generously. Most of you know this principle and the principle of tithing. The bottom line is this, whatever I want God to bless, I put him first in. If I want God to bless my marriage, I put him first in my marriage. If I want God to bless my time, I give him the first fruits of my time. If I want God to bless my business, then I put him first in my business. And if I want God to bless my money, my finances, my resources, then I need to put him first in my money. And this is the principle of tithing. That right off the top, I give that first 10%. Back to God. Proverbs 3:9-10 says this. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now, I just want to ask a question. Does it say honor God with what you have left over? Does it say go take care of everything you got to take care of? Why don't you go to the mall and get you something nice? Why don't you go out and get some In-N-Out burgers and go out to the movies, and then whatever's left over, give that to God? No, it doesn't say that. And that's not true in any area of our lives. See, we want to give God our very best. We want to give God our very best. And it's true in every area of our lives. I say this often. I want to give God my best. And that's not just about my finances. I want to give God my best time. Now, when I first became a new Christian, I heard there was these really righteous guys that were at my church, and they were like early birds. You know what I mean? You ever met these people? They're crazy, a little wild. They get up early. Before God's awake, they're awake. You know what I mean? And they're like, if you want to really serve God, you got to get up at like 3 a.m. Before the sun comes out, before Jesus is even awake. No, I'm just kidding. God's always awake. But you got to get up early and start reading your Bible. And so that's what I did, man. I was like, I'm a night owl by nature. I love to be up late, and I don't like to get up early. But I was like, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be righteous. And I did it. I got up early. And I'd open up my Bible, and I'd be laying in bed. I'm like, God, I'm going to be holy. I'm going to do this. And I'd open it up, and you can guess what would happen. I'd fall asleep. Or I'd read a couple sentences, and I'd be like, wait, what did I say? My mind wasn't turned on yet. And I learned this principle, this idea that I need to give God my best time. Yes, it's important to give God our first fruits, but we've got to give our best. Some of you aren't your best at 6 in the morning. That's me. I'm not my best. I don't want to give God that time. That's what's left over in my schedule. That's the place I can carve out in my schedule. But I want to give God my best when my mind is sharp, when I am awake, when I am alive. So I do my devotions often in the evening. That's when I spend time with God. That's when I talk with him. That's when my mind is sharp. That's when I'm not worried about falling asleep. That's when I give God that time. We also want to give God the best of our abilities, right? Some of us have incredible gifts and things that God has placed inside of us. And those gifts and abilities, man, we use those, as the proverb said earlier, to get money. We use those things in our career, in our job. We use those things for our hobbies or in other ways. But sometimes we say, yeah, I'm good at this, but I do this only 9 to 5. When it comes to serving God, I don't have that gift anymore. I don't have any more time. But we want to give God our very best. We want to give God our best gifts and our best abilities. We also give God the best of our resources. We all have seasons of financial difficulty and seasons when things get tight. But if we'll honor God with our best of what we earn, giving him not the leftover, but our first portion, the Bible says he'll bless that. He'll bless that faithfulness. And I can tell you, when we're making a budget or trying to figure out how we're going to invest or spend our money, don't leave tithe as like the leftover remainder at the end of your budget, but start with it at the beginning part. Deuteronomy 14:23 says this. I said I was reading Proverbs, but we've got a lot of other scriptures here. It says, bring this tithe to the designated place of worship. This applies to your tithes of grain, your new wine, olive oil, and firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you to always fear the Lord your God. See, when I tithe, I give God the first part of my income back before I give anything else as a gift to him. Now, it says three things, past, present, and future. First, God, thank you. I'm grateful for all that you've provided for me. Secondly, God, I trust you with my present. I trust you and thank you for everything that you're doing in my life. I want to put you first. And thirdly, I trust you with my future, that you're going to continue providing for me in my days ahead. And that's the purpose of it. Deuteronomy gives us the place. Where do I tithe? It says, bring this tithe to the designated place of worship. Do I bring my tithe to the United Way or to some other charitable organization? Do I give my tithe to a friend who's been out of work? No, that's charity. But tithing is an act of worship. It goes to God. Not to charity, not to my friend, it goes to him. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse or there'll be food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I'll open up the windows of heaven for you and I'll pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Read these last words with me, will you? Ready? Go. Put me to the test. This is the only place in Scripture where God explicitly tells us, put me to the test. Test me in this. God wants us to live generously. And yes, tithing our income to him. And yes, helping others in need on top of it. Generosity is more than just about our money, although that's a part of it. But what God is saying is if we will live in that generous way, it's not just a blessing later on, although we do store up treasures in heaven. But God says, I want to continually remind you that I am blessing you here and now as well. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says this, on the first day of each week, you should put aside, say put aside. You should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. And the Apostle Paul, this is the New Testament. This isn't just an Old Testament principle. But he's saying that on the first day of the week, when does the church gather, by the way, on the first day of the week? He says, you should put aside a portion of the money that you've earned. Because here's the deal. We're gonna forget about it, right? If I don't put it aside, I forget about it. Life happens. It gets crazy. Things go on. And we've got to forget it. We've got to not forget about it. And I've had many seasons of my life and marriage with Rebecca and I where we've had seasons where money's been tight. You ever lived there? Yeah. You ever been there? Maybe you're like, I live there right now. I've seen it. But in fact, it seems like, yeah, man, every time there's a life change or something's going on in our life, things just, we go into kind of chaos mode, whether it's a move or adding a new child to our family. We have five, by the way. Things just always go upside down. It's like we're trying to figure out, how do we budget? How do we figure out how much do diapers cost again? Like, we got to figure all these things out and remember all of these details. But in the middle of those things, we can forget. You ever forget something important? And what the word reminds us of is we've got to put aside a portion. We've got to make time to remember those things. Because here's a promise. If we'll trust God with our resources and with our money, that he'll bless it. But we've got to remember those things. We've got to put marker points in our lives to do that. And technologically, we got it pretty easy these days. I mentioned the fact that many of us don't even carry paper Bibles anymore because we've got them on our phones. We've got apps to do all sorts of things. And there's apps to help us to put it aside as well. Many people say, God, I'm going to give you, just the way I pay my bills through bill pay, I want to send it, my gift to the Lord through bill pay. But actually, recently, there's an app that we use as a church called PushPay. This isn't a plug. Don't pull out your phones. I'm not telling you to go to PushPay right now. But I'm just telling you something in my life. Because I'll tell you, in the chaos of my life, it's so easy for me to forget. I don't ever put a check in the tray on Sunday morning because I've got so much going on Sunday morning. But we give to the Lord in many other ways. But PushPay has allowed me to be mindful to put aside those things. In fact, this last week I was able to do just that because in the chaos of everything, sometimes it's easy to forget. So I've actually scheduled, hey God, I get paid on the 15th. I want to put that first. Before I go to pay my bills on the 15th, before I go to write that first check to the car, well, I don't write checks, before I go push that button on the online website to pay for my car, or I go to pay for groceries, or I go to pay for anything else, God, I want to pay and I want to give to you. And it's not paying. I want to set aside the gift to the Lord. So we need to create a habit of honoring God and putting him first in our giving. The fourth habit we've got to create to have healthy finances is this, is that we've got to learn to create a budget and a financial plan. This is like a fire hose. There's a lot of information here. So everyone just take a deep breath. This is a sensitive area for a lot of people. We're like, budget? That's like a four-letter word for a lot of people, isn't it? We don't like the idea of budgeting, but in this area especially, the old adage is true that failing to plan is planning to fail. And if we don't plan what we're going to do with the stewarding of our resources, then we're failing. We're going to plan to fail. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to just make a plan with how to do with our finances what the Lord has called us to do. Proverbs 24:27 says, do your planning. I don't like that word, God. Can you change it? But it says, do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. Now again, we're not in an agrarian society. We don't have farms. But what is he saying? What God is saying is that we should take our money and put it to work on things that will make our money grow, not just on things that will do no good. Going to Target is super fun. Going to Costco is super fun. Going to Amazon, super fun. But God's saying, before you build your house, what does he say? He says, do your planning and prepare your fields. What principle is he giving us? He's principling for us this idea that we've got to put in plan into work and we've got to prepare our fields and start thinking not just about this season of life, but the next season of life. See, I plant a crop and it does me no good today, right? it does me a good next season down the road. And so what God is saying is we've got to start thinking and planning for not just today, but for tomorrow. The second part of that, when I'm planning a budget or planning what God would have me do with my resources, I've got to live below my means. Now, you're like, but I don't have very many means. It's hard to live below it. Okay, Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Now, what does that mean? You're like, I've got a brother, and my brother and I, when we were kids, he's very different these days. He's learned a lot. But I'll never forget, very different. And I have friends that are like this, too. I had one of my best friends growing up, and we both get an allowance, and he'd say, let's go to the store. And we'd get on our bikes, and we'd go buy some ice cream. And he'd be like, why aren't you buying ice cream? And I'd say, because I'm saving up. I got a toy I want to buy. And there's something important about that that I think that sometimes we can learn that we don't want to spend every dollar that we get. See, I see people and they spend hundreds and they're making tens. I see people and they're not just spending what they get, but in our day and age with credit cards and all the other things that are going on, man, you can spend more than you make. Am I right? Thanks, credit cards. I can go spend hundreds when I make tens. I can spend thousands when I make hundreds. And Rebecca and I have lived in many seasons of our life where we've been self-employed. And we've had seasons where, man, there are seasons of feast, when business is going well, when the season is right, and then there's seasons of famine. And so we've kind of come to understand this idea that we've got to learn to set aside some things, to live below what we've got coming in. We need to adjust our lifestyle. For example, we realize that, hey, there's new diapers coming soon. We're going to have to change some of our spending habits, figure out how we're going to buy all those stinking diapers because they're not cheap. But we've got to live below our means. The proverb says, don't act like a fool and spend whatever you get. Another thing that the book of Proverbs gives us a clue on is how to do this thing, which is called, we've got to diversify our wealth. You're like, this sounds like financial planning, but this is what the Bible says. Who knew it was a biblical principle? Many didn't, but Ecclesiastes 11:2 says, divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. Now, you've heard the expression, don't put all your eggs in one basket. By the way, I was at Chipotle this week, and I've been preparing this message, and they've got a little clever saying, said, don't put all your eggs in one basket, put a burrito in there. Yeah, that's good. Sorry, there's a little anecdote. But you know where that phrase came from? It came from right here in the Bible. Divide your investments because you don't know what risks might be ahead. And this is incredibly practical to us. Any wealth management expert will tell you this truth, that there's wisdom. We saw it during the dot-com bubble burst, didn't we? We saw it during many different financial crises throughout our recent history. People who had their savings accounts tied up with the company that they worked for. Man, that company went down and their investments went away and their savings went away and their wealth disappeared. So we've got to make sure that we diversify our wealth, that we think about, God, how do I use this wisely, what you've given me? Proverbs also gives this idea that we've got to work our plan to get out of debt. And the principle is this. Proverbs 22:7 says this. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. And though we don't often think of it that way, debt is really a form of slavery to a lender. It's an act of putting ourselves in servitude. And though it sounds pretty easy to say, don't ever get in debt, we live in an era and in a part of the world where it is near impossible to buy a home or many other things without those. But wherever possible, we need to try and remove ourselves from the burden of debt. Imagine how freed up we'd live to be generous towards others and generous if we didn't have a car payment anymore, if we didn't have to worry about making that payment every month. Now, living in Southern California is not a cheap place to live. Trust me, I know. And though that's important, we've got to understand this principle that we need to get a plan to get ourselves out of debt. And to do that, we've got to create a budget and a financial plan. I've got a couple more habits. The first one is this. Habit number 5 is we've got to pay attention. Turn to the person next to you and say, pay attention. That's just my way to wake you guys up. That's why I made that point. That's it. That's the whole point. No. See, we can't fall asleep at the wheel. Do you ever feel like your finances are just kind of on autopilot? I set a budget a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. But God says we've got to pay attention and adjust along the way. Proverbs 27:23 says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Just practical. He says, know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds, for riches don't last forever and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. You say, why do you love that scripture? I love that scripture because it reminds me that I've got to pay attention. That I might not be a rancher. Any ranchers in the house, by the way? Cool. Yeah, I don't think any of us are ranchers. So we don't understand this. Know the state of your flocks. What he's saying is you got to pay attention to the things that God has blessed you with. Sometimes those things that we think and count and put our trust or hope in. But God's saying you got to pay attention to the state of your flocks and the resources and investments that God has put into our hands. And we've got to have this understanding that riches don't last forever, this side of eternity at least. And we've got to remember that first habit that it's all from God, and we've got to keep a mindful eye of what God has given us and use wisdom. Proverbs 23:5 says this. Again, what great visual imagery. In the blink of an eye, would you ever all just blink your eye? Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears. For it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Any guys have a dollar bill in your pocket right now? I'm going to show you what's on the back of a dollar bill. There's an eagle printed on the back of your dollar, okay? And I don't think this is by mistake. I think this is a great reminder for us that our resources that we put so much hope and so much trust and so much faith, oh, I've got all this money in the bank, I've got all this stuff set aside. We've got to remember that, hey, God's given it all to us. He's the one that's given me not only the resources, but the ability to even gain resources, but it could be gone tomorrow. So we've got to pay attention to our finances and know what we're doing in our budgets and in our investments. And last but not least, our last habit kind of rounds it off. It kind of is a bookend on the other side of our first habit, is we've got to give thanks to God in all things. Some of us have bought into this false phrase, and we've heard it. Money is the root of all evil. There's a little bit of truth. It's close, isn't it? It's close. Well, there's a bit of truth. 1 Timothy tells us it talks about money and evil, but it says that the love of money is the root of many kinds of evils. And so we've got to have this understanding that while we shouldn't aim our lives towards the endless pursuit of more and more and more, or as the Bible calls it, greed, as we shouldn't do those things, we also should give thanks to God for what he has blessed us with. Ecclesiastes 5:19, this is my last scripture, says, it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. I'll just say this, my friends. The gifts that God gives to us, we need to use them and steward them wisely. We need to ask God, Lord, what would you have me do with these gifts you've given to me? But as we live our lives with those gifts that he's given to us, we shouldn't be anxious about our money. We shouldn't be worried or guilty about the blessings of God in our lives. But we should, as as Ecclesiastes reminds us, to enjoy it, to give thanks to God for the blessings that he's given to us. Yes, to live generously, to remember that he's the one who's given us every good and perfect gift, to steward it wisely, to invest it well, to live generously with it, but to enjoy it. Now, there's times in our lives where we find ourselves in difficult situations with money, but it doesn't always have to be that way. God wants to give us wisdom in how to deal with our finances because, as I said at the beginning, money can be a terrific servant, but it's a terrible master. And God wants our possessions, our things, our money to be a blessing and not a hindrance or a curse to our lives. So I want to conclude our time just by, would you bow with me as we ask the Lord's blessing over all that he's spoken in his word, that he would just remind us of this truth. Lord, we just thank you that you've given us so much wisdom in the word on how to do and handle money the way that you want us to handle it. Lord, I pray that you just give us wisdom in how to do those things. And this morning, I want to pause for a moment just to remember the good news that the all-knowing, sovereign God of the universe both knows you and me. He knows our mistakes. He knows how we've blown it. He knows all of those things about us, and he still loves us. Not only that, but the same God made a way for us that no matter how many times we've messed up, handled money incorrectly, lusted after it, had greed in our hearts, whatever it was, that the God of the universe still loves us, and he's made a way for us to be restored. And he wants us to live our lives in the best way possible, life lived close to him, in his ways and under his protection. Perhaps this morning as we talk about generosity, the Lord was reminding you of some area where the habits that you have developed or cultivated, maybe by intention or maybe just by lack of paying attention, they're not in line with what God wants you to do. This morning, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. If that's you, the Lord was reminding you of an area that you haven't stewarded well what he's given you. You've made money a master instead of a servant. This morning, I want to pray for you and ask the Lord's blessing over that area of your life. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we talked about this morning, we thank you that you are the giver of every good and every perfect gift. You give us the ability to make money. You give us the ability to invest money. You give us the ability to do all things. And just as we sang in our song this morning, everything we have is from you, even the breath in our lungs. So may we live our lives in such a way that doesn't just sing the song, but Lord, may our life song sing that message to you. Lord, with the way we steward our resources, to the way we steward our gifts, to the way we steward our time, to every other thing you've given to us, Lord, may we do it in a way that blesses you, that honors you, that shows you that we trust you, not just for our present, but we thank you for our past and we trust you for our future. We thank you, Lord, for that. Help us to trust you. Lord, if there's a step of faith we need to take in one area of our lives or another, Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you give us the boldness to take a step of faith and trust you with it? Finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed across this room, you may be here today, and though we're talking about money, I believe the Lord has called you here to remind you of the simple truth that he loves you. He doesn't want to be separated from you. And with every head bowed and eye closed, maybe you're here in this place and you've never taken the very first step of faith, and that is to receive God's free gift of grace and forgiveness. Maybe you're within the sound of my voice and that's you. And if you've never made that commitment, you've never made that step of faith, the Bible says that we can receive it simply by saying yes to Jesus, just by receiving his free gift of grace. And if that's you within the sound of my voice, you've never received God's free gift of grace, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to call you down front or do anything. This is between you and God. But if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand and let our eyes meet? I want to agree with you in prayer. You want to say yes to the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We honor you. Lord, this morning, we just ask, as we talked about so much practical stuff today, Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom on doing your will and walking in your ways. We love you. We honor you. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me as we conclude our time for song worship?
Amen.